Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Despite the Straits Times Index having a pretty encouraging Thursday, where they actually closed slightly above that 3,100 level and spent the last few weeks trying to recover above, we are still seeing a potentially worrisome fourth quarter with more investor angst and a laundry list of possible issues that could challenge sentiment, as we've seen in the last couple of weeks. But recently, RHB is also releasing their outlook for the fourth quarter in terms of markets. And today on Money FM 89.3, we're joined by Mr. Shekhar Jaiswal, who's the head of equity research at RHB, to talk to us about what they're expecting in the last 3 months of the year and what their outlook is, despite what some are calling an increasing wall of worry that might be facing global investors, including investors here in Singapore. Mr. Jaiswal, thank you much for joining us today on Money FM 89.3. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and in good health these times, and welcome to the show, sir. Happy Thursday. It's good to meet you.
Thank you, JP. Happy Thursday to you, too.
All right. So, Mr. Jaiswal, before we get into the outlook, we've seen the STI hit a rather turbulent patch after the solid start of the year, and I want to get your thoughts on this, actually. In the last few weeks, despite closing at 3,101 today, we saw them step down from that 3,100 to 3,200 trading range down to about that 3,020 to 3,090. And, you know, the big question is if sentiment really has taken a hit. Based on what you're looking at, has sentiment dimmed somewhat for Singapore markets? And if so, what might be weighing on confidence here for markets just a little bit?
Sure, that's a very good question. You know, I'll have to take you back a quarter. So in our third quarter strategy report, we had actually mentioned that after generating very strong returns for the first half of this year, we were expecting STI to consolidate before it starts moving higher. And this was mainly because of three key reasons. One was investors were still awaiting greater clarity on further normalization of business activities in Singapore. Second, there was a gradual addition of C Group into the MSCI Singapore Index, and that would have meant that the banking stocks, which account for almost 40% of the STI, would see a pause in their strong share price performance that they had witnessed in the first half of this year. And third, this is more of a technical viewpoint. We looked at the last 10 years' data, and it does seem to suggest that the STI had struggled to sustain its forward PE at one standard deviation above its historical average. And, you know, by mid-May, STI's forward PE was already at one standard deviation above its historical average since Jan 2008. Now, amongst all of this, if you bring out to today's date point, the latest round of restrictions in Singapore amidst the rise in COVID-19 cases, along with the rising global risk, has made investors question on the market outlook. Now, we are still awaiting clarity on when will we see the complete normalization of business activities in Singapore. And the addition of C Group to MSCI Singapore Index is not complete yet. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen in phases. We have two more data timelines to observe, which is November and February. And this could possibly encumber Singapore bank share price performance till early of next year. Now, the positive to take away from all this negative sentiments is that the valuation for the market has now become more compelling. We are at 12.9 times forward PE, and at these levels, STI is now trading below its historical average. So there's a compelling valuation argument.
All right. You know, markets, as we mentioned, also seem more worried more than the start of the year. And there is this laundry list of concerns that some are calling is forming a wall of worry, possibly, Mr. Jaiswal. You have concerns about China slowing down closer to home, these rising interest rates and inflationary pressures. You have the U.S. talking about that debt ceiling issue that seems to have been resolved temporarily. Mm-hmm. Of course, the ever-present COVID-19 pandemic that's really kept borders shut tight, especially for economies that are so dependent on external activity like Singapore. You know, based on this laundry list of concerns, how does this now play into RHB's overall outlook for markets in the fourth quarter, based on what you just recently released?
Sure. So, you know, for the fourth quarter, Singapore's stock market outlook will continue to depend on how well these stocks and sectors can contend with the ongoing COVID-19 constrained growth. Obviously, expectations of an earlier interest rate hike. Obviously, there's global supply chain disruption and also the corporate effort to maximize the operational efficiencies. Talking about the COVID-19, at this front, we see the current tightening measures in Singapore as purely a speed bump and maintain that the reopening of the economy will sustain over the next 12 months, which is in line with what the government has been reiterating over and over again. While the global risk does suggest that it could be challenging times ahead for equities, we think the current share price weakness offers opportunities to accumulate stocks on two fronts. One, those stocks that offer better operating leverage to eventual economic reopening, as well as counters that now offer better earnings visibility. This could be either because of business restructuring or due to structural and inorganic growth. So we remain positive on the market outlook and have an overweight call on financials, industrials, transport, and industrial REITs. We see Suntech REIT and ComfortDelGro as the picks that will see reversal in the share price weakness once the current restrictions in Singapore are eased. OCBC Bank and UOB are the best proxies to continued economic growth and also the expected rise in interest rates, while Singtel remains a good proxy for value unlocking and the eventual reopening of regional economies.
All right. Rasleemi Shekhar Jaiswal, the head of equity research at RHB, and you did touch just now on this sign of rising rate interest rates, actually. Shekhar, I've noticed in recent times, and you can tell me if this is just coincidental, but I've observed that these rising rate pressures have had an impact on REITs and property developers in recent times. In fact, we've seen prices, especially for some of the REITs, challenged on more than one occasion whenever we saw yields move up or treasury yields start to see signs of going up. How might the sector fare in the fourth quarter? And am I overplaying perhaps the possible correlation between REIT prices and some of these yield movements that we've been seeing in the last couple of weeks, actually for the last couple of months?
Sure. I mean, you're not overplaying it at all. REITs are interest rate sensitive. Mm-hmm. If you look at the U.S. 10-year yields, they jumped in September after Fed said that they could start tapering this year and signaled earlier interest rate increases. Now, we do not rule out the likelihood of volatility in REIT share prices in the fourth quarter, and we do see a possibility of REIT share prices dropping anywhere between 5 to 10% based on how the expectations on interest rates come about. Now, however, for a long-term investor, we see this as a buying opportunity, and we continue to believe that amongst all the REITs, industrial REITs will continue to outperform even in the fourth quarter. We right now have a buy rating on Ascendas REIT, Ames APAC REIT, and ESR REIT. Now, trying to put some context into what I just mentioned, if I could take you back to the 2013 taper tantrum, the REIT share prices fell about 19%, that's 1.9, in the second half of the year. But on a full year basis, they still delivered 11% return. And when everything came back to normal in 2014, REITs actually delivered a 9% return. So we'll not be overly concerned with all this taper tantrum and tapering in quantitative easing if it does get accompanied by very strong economic growth going into 2022.
Mm-hmm. I have a question just to stay on REITs here, Shekhar. How big of a wrench can a possible failure, at least with lifting the debt ceiling in the U.S., play on interest rates and ultimately some of these rate-sensitive sectors? We've seen the possibility. Everybody is not a lot of people are betting on a potential default in the United States. But again, we can see it is expected that if that does happen, it might actually cause a bit of uncertainty or volatility, perhaps even cause an unwanted rise in rates. How big of a potential risk might this be, or how bad can this potentially hit some of these vulnerable rate sectors that are vulnerable to rate movements here?
Right. So obviously, REITs is definitely one of those sectors. But if you look at the spread between 10-year U.S. Treasury yield and the Singapore REITs yield, it's standing at about 10-year average of about 4.1%, which we think is fairly healthy. So yes, if there's an unexpected rise in the U.S. Treasury yields, then yes, we do see the spread narrowing down, and that could reflect into the share prices of Singapore REITs. But we don't think that's going to be sustained over the longer period of time, which is why, as I mentioned earlier, this is an opportunity. If you see this movements in the short term, you start buying into these REITs from a longer-term perspective.
All right. Shekhar, the other thing that markets seem to be more worried about right now is also inflationary fears. In fact, factories across the world, even here in Singapore, have started to worry about the pinch from rising input prices. They think that this might also eat into earnings this time around. How crucial is this going to be for you guys to watch out for as Singapore's firms begin releasing their business updates and earnings in the next couple of weeks? How important or how critical a factor is this going to be for this round of releases?
Sure. Actually, that's very concerning. We do see some potential for margin compression in the upcoming earnings season. Obviously, given that we have no natural resources, Singapore is purely a price taker and is reliant on imported food, energy, and raw materials. Global supply chain disruptions, which has been reflected in terms of shortage of key components, probably delayed production, as well as higher shipping costs, has contributed to rising input costs. Just to put things in numbers, manufacturing input prices have expanded for 13 straight months now, and they hit a three-year high in August. So far, most manufacturers are coping with higher cost pressures by adapting to lower margins. for now. Obviously, there is some extra cushion from increasing orders, especially in the electronics industry. But the question is, how long can this sustain? Another sector where we think the impact will be quite severe is construction sector, which is already facing significant manpower shortages. While the labor cost is expected to remain elevated, recent surge in prices for steel reinforcement, copper, other commodity materials, and even oil for that matter, will continue to escalate construction costs and push margins lower for the construction company's ongoing projects. Now, in putting all this in context will be whether the manufacturers will be able to pass on the higher cost to the consumers or the end consumers. So far, their ability has been fairly limited, given that we're still in a fragile economic recovery, especially with repeated spikes in COVID-19 cases and restrictions. However, I do think probably by end of this year or early 2022, the affected firms will be able to try and push that margin squeeze and look at passing on that higher cost to the consumers when economic recovery starts to gain momentum.
All right. Shekhar Jaiswal, Head of Equity Research at RHB. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your schedule to join us on Money FM 89.3 and share RHB's outlook for markets in the fourth quarter. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these times, and we look forward to next time we can have you join us on the show. Meanwhile, stay safe and hope you have a great rest of the week ahead, sir. Cheers.
Thank you, JP. Thank you for having me on the show.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.